Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of Bright Brains. Today we have our guest, Devorah Thunderbeat. Devorah Thunderbeat. And I came into contact with her. I wanted to find somebody who had experienced an extraterrestrial encounter. Through my research, I came across Miss Thunderbeat, and I'm interested to hear her story, and I believe she has a lot to tell us and show us. So without further ado, thank you for coming to the show. Tell us a little bit about yourself and your background.
Thank you, Isaac, for having me. Well, let's see. I'm a musician, composer, sound healer, actually a pioneer in sound healing. I've been doing it since the 90s with the sessions. I've got like 14 solo CDs out. They're all activational, all world music, because I travel around the world and I come back and write a CD, like the Mayan lands, the Egyptian lands, and cosmic lands. And I also do so many things. It would be a long time to say. On my website, you can check that out, 22 DNA activations, which is from the Keys of Enoch, what they took out of the Bible, which, you know, they didn't want anybody to know that information. So it's to help you remember who you are and why you are here on the planet. So very cool stuff. Very honored to do that work. And yes, I've had ET encounters since the age of 4. The first one was, I've had many.
All right.
My star family came to me. All of them were extremely beautiful and positive. And that's why I wrote the book, because all this doom and gloom that all people tell you about, the ETs and the aliens and all that, is, so negative. And it's like, no, they are more loving than we are on this planet. At least the ones I've met, and I've met many. When I was 4, I was playing in the driveway. I'm from upstate New York. So it was broad daylight, playing in the driveway. And a ship came over. It was cloaked in a cloud. Okay, I call it a cloud ship. And more people now are talking about things like this. This was decades ago, when I was 4. So it was cloaked in a cloud, and it pulled me up. And as it was pulling me up, my mom ran out of the house trying to catch me, and they pulled her up too. So that's where it all began. And I remember I didn't remember everything. I remember coming back. And when I came back, I was in the air, and I was actually tumbling in slow motion in the air. And I'm like looking at the driveway going, oh no, I'm going to hit my head on the driveway. I'm going to hurt myself. I need to land on my hands. And as soon as I said that, I flipped around, landed on my hands. My cat was there, and my cat jumped 10 feet in the air. So I must've like came out of nowhere. And my mother then runs out of the house. She goes, where have you been? Okay. So they brought her back, and she goes, where have you been? I was looking all over for you. I was ready to call the police because I couldn't find you. So I wondered about that all my life, of what really, really happened, because I didn't remember everything. And so I finally had a session. This was in like 2005 or six. It was 2005. I had a session with Dolores Cannon. A lot of people know who Dolores Cannon is. She does the QHHT past life things. And I had a regression with her, and I found out actually a few of my missing time sessions, because a lot of people have missing time and sometimes they don't even realize it. There was different beings on this ship, and they, I hear knocking, and then no one's there.
Oh, they don't, It's probably the FBI. They don't want us talking about this kind of stuff.
Oh yeah, the CIA, the FBI. Yeah, they don't even want to talk about. Yeah, exactly. They constantly, actually, they do constantly follow me around. I hate
Oh,
you.
really?
Oh yeah.
Right, Dan. Well, we can talk about that a little bit later, but so you said you had missing time and you met a woman who helped you recover those memories.
Yes.
All right, so what did you recover?
Okay, well, that first 4-year-old, when I was 4 years old, they put me on a table. This is during the session, and they rolled me down this hallway, and there was like many rooms. But the doors were open. They were all lit up with different colors. Every room was a different color. So then they put me into a room and they shined golden light onto me and they called me a name. They said, "Your name is Flying Eagle with Many Wings." And I'm like, after the session, I'm going, "That sounds Native American. I'm half Native American." I go, "That sounds very Native American." So I asked my uncle, he's a shaman, Native Choctaw. And I said, "The Star family called me Flying Eagle with Many Wings." He goes, I said, "That sounds Native American." He goes, "Where do you think we get our names from? We get them from the Star people." I'm like, wow. So that's pretty cool.
That is. So when you were on the ship, what did they do to you? Did they like experiment on you or anything like that? Or no? They
No, they
just
activated
threw
me and they helped me
they.
remember my mission, why I came here on Earth at this time.
All right. So what is your mission? Are you able to say or?
Yeah, well, I work with color, light, sound, activating people and bringing them into their higher frequency of who they are, helping them remember even their past lives. Wake them up, wake the people up and help the Earth, because it's so freaking polluted and get people aware. So activating their awareness,
So why you specifically? Why were you chosen? Do you know?
a lot of people say that chosen, you're chosen. No, I chose. So it's the other way around. You choose your mission when you come here. Everyone does. It's like, okay, I want to, fix a past life, whoever, there we've had many lives, let's put it that way. So I want to work on this karmic stuff, or I want to work on this mission when I'm down there this lifetime. Many missions, that you could have. So I volunteered to come and help at this time because people need help of all these transitions from the dark to the light that's going on.
So, are we all like constantly reincarnating?
Yes.
Yeah. Is there like, I forget which religion it is. I don't know if it's Hinduism or Buddhism, but they say that the goal is to reach nirvana so you can break the cycle. Is there any truth to that? Are we here to
Yes.
like try? Yeah. So, can you explain a little bit about how this process works and how do we go about breaking this cycle?
Well, it's that's another thing of your choice of waking up and raising your frequency, which I help people do. And we don't just visit Earth. We go to many planets. At least I know that I have many star systems, many planets. So it's not just Earth. Yeah, when we reach clear yourself of to in into enlightenment, nirvana, it means that you have just blessed everything that you experience. You are, compassion, you understanding, love. Love is the key. I mean, the answers are not complicated. It's simple. Love, compassion, understanding,
So what is sound healing and how do you go about how do you heal people via sound?
Okay, well, it has to be a personal session because of sound. I go through the chakras. So each chakra has a purpose, and actually each chakra is an awareness. So the seven colors of the rainbow. So I work with color, light, sound, not just sound. I use activational keys, notes for each chakra. So I lay the person down and I use tuning forks and sound, like some of my music and stuff like that, my chakra CD, which is voted number one in the country, USA, with and I'm number one. I don't know if you ever heard of Monroe Institute,
No, I have not.
Honeysync. Some people, it's huge. They're worldwide. I'm number one with them for the last 15 years for sound healing, using sound to help people. It doesn't just heal you, it helps you, your awareness expand. Now it's hard to explain awareness because unless you experience it, you don't understand it. So, but you go like everybody comes out of the session, they release a lot of old stuff, and some people cry. They don't know why they cried. They're releasing old stuff, like as in situations in their life that sometimes they don't remember. They bury them very, very deep inside their, soul and their subconscious. And so I pretty much use each key, go through each chakra. It takes about an hour. And then I get downloaded in knowledge and information for them and messages for them from their spirit guides. So, and I just relay that. And most people go, "Oh my God, I feel so much clearer, I'm lighter, happier," So.
That's awesome. So, out of all the encounters you had, the extraterrestrials that you met, are they all the same race or species, or have you met like different kind? I guess what I'm asking, are they all the same group of aliens? Or are there more than one
No.
group? No.
Yes.
So,
Yes, it's one group. I met many. I found out I met the Andromedans, Sirians, the bird beings. I have met, oh my God, in my book, I have to look at my book. I've read, met over a dozen different species from different planets. And I don't know, I was there, I guess, there at the right moment, or actually it's like, for instance, all the stories are in my book. There's so many. Like, for instance, I would go to UFO conferences, and I would it had a table with crystals and my music and all this for sale. And I would meet these people that I go, "Oh my God, I know you. What do I know you from?" And I find out they're actually ETs. And they go to the UFO conferences because those people are, when they go to these conferences, they're looking and searching. So they show up, but they look human. See, that's the thing. They look human, but their awareness is like, they can actually like look at you and see like right inside of you. That's an awareness. So it's amazing. The best way I can explain, and they're very loving, very compassionate, and very extremely intelligent. And it's not like, there's no evil there. There's no, evil agenda. At least the ones I have met. Now I have met Grays on that I guess I wasn't supposed to. But it's a really cool story. It's in my book too. My book's called Look Up, My Encounters with ETs and Angels. But I was in the Mayan lands, and on March 21st, which is the spring equinox, and there's like 5,000 people that show up, because what happens at the Chichen Itza is the sun hits the temple, the pyramid, and it activates, or it shows the dragon, I guess you could say. I call it the dragon. From the shadow of the dragon, actually comes alive on March 21st on the spring equinox. So thousands of people come from all over the world. So when it was the first time I was there, it was in 1998, and they blocked the pyramid off. And I said, well, I came this far and I've been wanting to come for years. I'm going to sneak in. There's a little doorway there on the side of the pyramid. Now they had it all roped off. I said to my friend, I said, I'm going to go into that doorway. I didn't come this far not to at least touch the pyramid. So I snuck in there and it was pitch black. There were no lights, couldn't see anything. So I have the ability to use my third eye, which everyone has this ability, okay? It's just you have to activate it, and the sound healing helps you activate it. That's part of your awareness, your third eye chakra. So I used my third eye, and I found like a stairway in there, and I went up the stairway, not physically, with my third eye. And all of a sudden, 7 to 8 grays starts running down the stairway. And they told me, mental telepathy, they said, you can't be in here. Go, you have to leave now. And I'm like going, okay. And they look scared. I wasn't scared. I just said, okay, I'm out of here. And I backed out. And I told my friend, I said, she goes, what's in there? I said, there's grays. They're doing something in there. And I don't know, have a clue what they're doing, but obviously I don't feel it's good or right. I don't know though. I mean, why are they there on the spring equinox? The equinoxes and solstices are very powerful alignments with our planet and the other planets. A lot of people don't realize that it's very, very, very powerful time. But I have no clue what they were doing in there. So.
That's interesting. So you mentioned earlier about the Book of Enoch and how they took that out the Bible. Do you think that like the government or the world religions, they don't want us to know about this, and why is that?
Yeah, I mean, they took a lot out of the Bible, but I mean, people don't even realize they only like when Jesus had 12 apostles, right? Right? They only have three or four of them in there in the Bible. They don't talk about all of them. Why is that? Okay, that's another one. But the keys Book of Enoch, yeah, they took it out. They just said, oh, this is too much information for the people. And they didn't want them to know because it talked about Enoch going up into the heavens, into the stars, with I don't know how he mentions it, but I think family or God, and he was in the rotating ships, but he didn't say the word ships, these rotating wheels that he was flying in. So they don't know. They didn't want us to know any of that. So sad.
But why are they like afraid of us like awakening?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they don't want us to know. They keep us under control with less knowledge and with fear. They use fear to control, when you're afraid of something, that you can be controlled very easily. So, no, there's nothing to fear,
Yeah.
by the way. Nothing to fear. Actually, fear does not even exist in a lot of the planets I have been on. I've actually have traveled to planets that my star family has brought me into ships, and we've gone into Sirius and many different planets, and there's no fear there. It's like actually
So
I'm putting the two and two together where I hear near-death experiences. They talk about going into the tunnel and they feel this love and light. It's the same exact feeling, same exact thing. I mean, so when I'm going into these tunnels, these portals, it is, and then you come out to like a planet, you can feel the love. I mean, that you don't even ever experience here on this planet. I mean, at least I have not. Experience that high frequency love. It's beautiful. And it's same thing as the near-death experience. So that if you put the two and two together, right? It's the same thing. It's, they don't die. No one dies. We go to our, where we come from, the star family, or we go into a portal,
So if the goal is to wake us up, why don't they just expose themselves like one day? Like, why don't they just land on the White House lawn and just show the whole world that they exist? Wouldn't that, wake us all up? Is there a reason why they just don't expose themselves?
Well, first of all, they have gone to the White House. It was I think it was the I don't remember what year that was, 40s and 50s, something like that. They had a whole fleet of ships, but the government passed it off as, oh, they're German ships, and they weren't. They're ETs. They did fly over to the Washington, D.C. They came and they had the big ordeal in California, where the government started shooting them down. So they basically have come, but they go, the people aren't ready. They would be in fear. It's a free will zone too. The earth is a free will zone, which means they don't want to interrupt anything, like the dark side doesn't care about that, but these are light beings, and they have they know that we don't want they don't want to put any fear into anybody. So they say a lot of they say the humans just aren't ready, but they do contact thousands of people a year that you just don't hear about it because a lot of people are afraid to say or don't understand what happened in their life that they were contacted, or people don't believe them. I mean, and that's another one. Or I can't talk about this. People will think I'm crazy. So you don't hear a lot about it because of those reasons,
Yeah, I think a lot of people have had encounters, but they're just afraid to say because of, job security and things like that. So you also mentioned that you've had encounters with angels. So my question is, what's the difference between an alien and an angel?
Hey, sorry to interrupt. But are you looking to reach a dynamic and engaged audience of curious minds? Well, look no further. Bright Brains Podcast is the perfect platform to showcase your business or product. You'll be able to reach a diverse, intelligent audience and engage with listeners passionate about personal development, technology, and more. Elevate your brand through thought-provoking discussions. Don't miss this opportunity to promote your business on one of the fastest growing podcasts in the market. Contact us today to discuss advertising options and elevate your brand to the next level. Contact us at brightbrainspod@gmail.com to secure your advertising spot on Bright Brains today. Again, that's Bright Brains with a Z pod. pod@gmail.com. Now, back to the podcast.
Well, I'm going to say we're all ETs, and so are angels, but angels are in service and they're right here looking over the planet, willing to help. Those are the ones, but that you have to ask to receive. I'm not getting religious here. But like Jesus says, ask and you shall receive. That's what he's talking about. He's talking about the knowledge. He's talking about the angels, connecting. And otherwise, they don't interfere unless it's an extreme emergency, So they're right here. They're right here. I mean, you just ask, Archangel Gabriel, I need some help with this or this and that. So how I first met, an angel, Archangel Gabriel, actually, I met. I was overnight in the Great Pyramid of Egypt. Overnight. And I just finished a ceremony with my drums. I played drums all my life. And he comes in. I really didn't see him. I heard him more than the psalm, but felt his presence. And he announced himself. And he goes, color, light, sound. Seven is the sacred number. Seven is the sacred number. Color, light, sound. Seven is the sacred number. Over and over and over again, he kept saying this. And I'm saying, this is in 1997 when I first encountered him. And I said, oh, he's talking about the chakras, the seven colors of the rainbow. And he's telling me there's an activational key for each chakra. So that's how I wrote my Chakra Journey CD with the help of Archangel Gabriel. Because when I got home from Egypt, I have a recording studio and I started working on it. I was like excited. I go, this is a mission I'm very excited about. And I experimented with the sounds and he comes in. Archangel Gabriel comes into my home and worked with me for 2 weeks on the activational tones for each chakra. And it was profound. I mean, so if you know, you can go to my download site and listen to it for free, but don't drive with that CD. I'm just going to tell you, you're going to miss your exit. Okay. really brings you out, you know.
What did he look like? Did it look like the modern depiction of an angel? Like, you know, the tall being with the bright white wings and the halo, or did it look different than that?
He was more like a white light, you mm-hmm. know, that's all I could really see. I mean, and his voice was very powerful, you know, I've met ascended masters and angels, and they are very direct. They don't go on and on and on and on like us humans talk. They have these sentences that are three words. Okay, now do it, you know, kind of go. They're just very right to the point. Like for instance, what happened? So we worked on the chakra CD. I started recording the chakra CD. And the root chakra I recorded, and then I went to the sacral chakra, and he goes, not yet, not time, like that. And I'm like, why? What do you mean? And in my recording studio, nothing worked. I could not move forward. I'm like, oh my God. Long story short, this went on for 4 years. I'm like, what? And every time I tried to do that, record that CD, nothing worked in my recording studio. Okay. But I recorded three other CDs in that 4 year period. Everything worked fine during that, you know? And I'm like, okay, so what's this all about? Then 9/11 happens. The day after 9/11, when the Twin Towers fell in New York City, he comes in the next day. He goes, okay, it's time now to do the chakra CD. And I'm like, what? Why did he taught me about timing for the planet. So that's what I got from that, because the CD is extremely healing and it releases stress, fear, anxiety, pain, actual pain. And I guess it was needed then more so than, you know, before. So it was an honor. So, but he was more of a bright light. It was more of a bright light, and his presence was very powerful. That's the best way I can describe it.
So how have these encounters impacted your beliefs in spiritual practices?
Well, it's enhanced them of awareness, of understanding. So that is basically, you know, they've almost been like my guides. Like with the Chakra Journey, I got, like I said, 14 CDs out, but the Chakra Journey, I remember I finished, I did a chakra poster. I don't know if you can see it on the...
Yeah, I think it's behind you.
That's another one. But, well, it's probably too big to show right here. But anyway, it's with Kuan Yin. Yeah, it's kind of hard to see.
Oh, yeah, I see it, yeah.
Yeah, so I did this informational chakra poster, and the point is, then I did a color light sound DVD, right? And right after I finished the DVD, I'm in my recording studio going, I'm by myself going, okay, the DVD is done, you know? and Spirit comes in, he goes, now write the book. And I'm like, what? What book? They said, the chakra book. I actually argued with Spirit. I said, There's 52 million chakra books out there. And, you know, he goes, it was either Archangel Gabriel or Thoth, because he's one of my guides also. I think it was, yeah, okay, there's name Thoth, because he's a scribe, you know, he's a writer. And he goes, your book, he said, he goes, write the book, it will complete your package, plus is, you know, you're going to have new information in this book. I said, really? So how am I going to get that? So they downloaded me while I was writing the book, started writing the book. And actually, I started writing workshops right before that. So I started there with the knowledge of the chakras and everything. So the started writing the book, and it came in and downloaded me information, more information, like the planets align with each chakra. I mean, that's not in any books that I know of. Animal totems for each chakra, very important. A lot of different knowledge about the chakras, I guess, that hasn't been spoken. And I said, thank you so much. It's awesome. So I never thought I was going to write a book. I'm a musician all my life, you know? So, you know, I was like, books are very different than music.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
All right. So you earlier, you mentioned that you have had like FBI or CIA, like kind of watch you or anything like that. Is that something you feel comfortable like talking about or anything?
Yeah, I mean, they're constantly, I mean, following me around. They're wondering what I'm doing. They want to put me in fear, so I lower my vibration and slow my mission down. I know what they're doing, and I just got to keep going. I just got to, you know, learn how to ignore that. And I've actually, you know, called the police many times, but they don't do anything. Yeah. They said, you have to have, you know, major proof. And how much proof, you know, can you get? I mean, you take pictures of them and tell them this person's following me around, but they don't do anything. They don't help you at all. Sad, you know? Yeah. So I don't know. I send them love, you know, these people that are, you know, I don't know, some of them are not even human. Yeah. Seriously, but I send them love. And you know what happens when I send them love?
What happens?
Makes them sick. Isn't that interesting? They can't handle
that
love. They can't handle it. And then they get pissed off because they get sick. Like I'm doing something bad to them when they don't realize I'm just sending them love. They think I'm sending them maybe, you know, something harmful, you know, and it's not, it's love.
So when you say they're not human, do you think they're another species of aliens or maybe something like robotic or some other kind of entity that's none of the above?
Yeah. Actually, I have, wasn't prepared, but I have a picture of one. Yeah, I really feel they're what they talk about in the Bible, the Archons. They talk about the Archons in the Bible. Well, I really think that they're the Archons, that they're demons or Orion, definitely the Orion group, Luciferian. Definitely that's and the reptilians. They're all work together as one.
All right. So when you tell people this, I know you sometimes run into like skeptics and things like that, and critics of people who don't believe you. How do you respond to those people?
I just go, well, they're not ready. Simple as that. I don't take anything personal. I mean, if they don't want to know or don't get it, they are just not ready. That's all. Simple
Fair
as that.
Enough. All right. So you also put out a book called Ancient Egypt, found in Sedona, Arizona. Can you talk a little bit about this?
Yeah. That is a 20-year project. Actually, I moved to Sedona, Arizona in 2000, and it happened to me almost immediately. I spirit guided, guiding me to the sacred rock formations. But, you know, I'm half Native American, and my uncle would always teach me how to about the rocks. When he would go, when you see the faces in the rocks, those are the ancient ones and the ancient knowledge. So I would always look at rocks differently. So when I came here, I mean, Spirit guided me, and they showed me that, I think it was the second week, I'm driving in the rocks and transported me, basically, swear to God, to this right in front of this rock formation, and it's a Sphinx. I have all the pictures in my book. It's on my website, and I'm working on a documentary right now on it. It's just mind-blowing. It's still blowing my mind. But I found ancient Egypt here. I found, you know, since I've been studying Egypt for 20, 30 years, I recognized the gods and goddesses here. Isis, Hathor, Ra, Thoth, Anubis, Sekhmet. I mean, they're all here, all in a row. And I actually do a drive tour now, and I can just drive people around and point them out. And people always go, after the tour, they go, I will never look at rocks the same again. You know, because it's an awareness. They're hidden right in plain sight.
So basically, so what you're saying is that you think ancient Egyptians, they came to America and had maybe like another city here in Arizona, or, well, what's your theory?
Well, I've done a lot of research on that. They 2 hours north of here in the Grand Canyon, they found ancient Egypt. 2 hours south of here in Phoenix, they found ancient Egyptian artifacts and hieroglyphs on carvings in caves, which, like I said, is only 2 hours from here. And they call this area in Phoenix, Little Egypt. I'm like, okay, so I'm finding all this information out. And then in Lake Powell, which is 3 hours from here, they found hieroglyphs that you can't even, you know, get to. They're so ancient. So something definitely happened here. And I really think it was before Egypt, like during Atlantean times. You know, actually in the Book of Thoth, the Emerald Tablets, he talks about, you know, bringing the ancient Egyptians to Egypt to be, you know, during the flooding, right before the Atlantis fell, because he wanted to bring them to a safe zone, safe place. The pyramids in Egypt, the three major pyramids in Giza, those were built by the Atlanteans, not the Egyptians. There was no slaves. That's all lies. The Egyptologists and the government there doesn't want the truth out there known either. And I don't know why they hide all this, the beautiful information. So, but Thoth brought the people there because it was a safe zone. Pyramids, one of their purposes is to balance out the planet, so it doesn't shift her axes very dramatically. So that's another one purpose. There's many purposes for the pyramids, but that's one that people don't talk about very often, but it's helps balance and stabilize. That's the word I'm trying to find. Stabilize the earth.
Were the ancient Egyptians, when I read up about the ancient Egyptians, it seems like they were like extremely advanced for their time, maybe even more advanced than we are now. Do you think that they were in contact with outside beings or anything like that?
Yeah, they were outside beings.
Yeah.
They're from, even in the keys, the Emerald Tablets, I think it is it says that they're from Enid, from another star system. And they were giants. They were huge. I mean, have you been to Egypt?
I have not. I would love to go one day.
Isaac, you got to go, man. It's going to blow your mind, because the temples, when you walk through some of these doorways, these temples, they're so big that you can't even see the writings on the ceiling because they're so big and so tall. And I'm going, when I first went there the first time in 1997, I said, why would they build something like you can't even see these doorways and all these beautiful writings unless you were, and they're unless you were a giant, you know? And then I found out later they were, but you know, they want to keep that hush hush too. And then we're talking the ancient Egyptians, not the pharaohs, not the kings, not the queens. I'm talking about the what they call the gods and goddesses, which they didn't call themselves gods and goddesses. The people did. So
talking about the spiritual practices, you know, we kind of touched on a lot of aspects like, you know, reincarnation, the chakras and things like that. What I've noticed is, you know, these things kind of belong to different religions, like the chakras, kind of like to the Hindu religion. Reincarnation is kind of like the Buddhist religion. Then we talk about angels, which that's like Christianity and Islam. So my question is all this stuff, is it really just like one religion? And like maybe we've kind of got it confused and separated it into multiple religions. Is there like one kind of true religion that we're missing or anything like that? Or,
well, it's not religion, it's a knowledge.
Knowledge,
that's an, you know. The Hindus as one of the oldest religions that they on the planet that we remember or know of, and they do talk about the chakras, but they even say that the chakra knowledge is over 10,000 years old. It's, you know, and these people, it's which I laugh, but these people go, oh, that new age foo-foo stuff. I said, what? It's not new age. This is 10,000 years old knowledge, you know, and healing and information. And it's very frustrating at times for some people, for, you know, but I, like I said, it all depends on their time to wake up. So, you know, everybody will get there eventually, I say, but the religion, it's not a religion. I actually thought the ETs always said that they've told me it was so funny. They told me, they go, yeah, we come down there and give the humans knowledge and they turn it into a religion. So it's the humans that turn it into religion and they separate it. It's not, it's but all it is knowledge, just knowledge.
Yeah. All right. It's deep. All right. So let's see here. I think I've kind of asked all the questions I've wanted to ask, but there's something you brought up a couple of different times. You said the Emerald Tablets of Thoth. What are the Emerald Tablets of Thoth?
Emerald tablets. Well, Thoth, it's the ancient knowledge. He and Thoth, he's an ibis bird. He was from Atlantis, but he lived like thousands of years. So he would always write everything down that he experienced. And so the Emerald Tablets are ancient knowledge. It's profound. I mean, there's a lot of different stories in there. You know, sometimes they're hard to read. You have to read them. They always say if you read them, you know, four or five times, then you kind of get the information download. But yeah, they're he talks a lot about Atlantis in there, you know.
All right, that's definitely something I have to check out. All right, so it looks like it's kind of getting close to an hour. So I just want to ask you, what is it that you want people to know? Like, if you know, I have a small audience. Hopefully one day it'll be a bigger audience. But what is it like that you want people to know about the extraterrestrials and the knowledge? I seem like you've dedicated your life to, you know, teaching about sound healing and about getting this knowledge out to people. So what is it that you want people to take away from this?
You mean to get is basically, yeah, well, that the ETs, they're more benevolent, loving ETs. It's just that the government doesn't want us to know about them. They put everybody in fears. And so there's a lot of lies out there about the ETs. They say that, you know, if you hear them talk about them, they're always negative. It's terrible, you know, because they don't want to be, you know, us to be connected with the higher enlightenment frequencies, you know, and that, you know, that would wake us up. and they couldn't control us then. So that is my mission, to talk about the loving, beautiful ETs that is our star family. We're all connected. And the music helps you, the music that I write helps you actually activate you and wakes you up in other realms. I've had people tell me, wow, when I listen to your Mayan CD, I start going into like remembering a past life. And I'm going, oh, a Mayan past life? No, a whole different thing. So it's the activational tones that brings you into memory, helps you remember who you are, why you're here. And I do those sessions, the 22, helping people, you know, create. If anybody wants to go to my website, thunderbeat.com, you know, you could put a little tag up there. And you can read all about the 22 DNA. And if you come to Sedona, I'll give you a drive tour and show you the ancient ones and the rocks, you know.
Awesome. Definitely something I might have to check out. Something that just popped in my mind, though, actually. Have you ever heard this theory? I believe it's called like 432 hertz. That's like a type of frequency that like kind of awakens the soul. And from what I've heard, they say that the music industry, the mainstream music industry, they make sure that all the music is at a different frequency than the 432 hertz. And that's to kind of keep us asleep and keep us depressed. Have you heard anything like that before? Oh, yeah. What's your take on
Oh, yeah, that? Yeah. The 440 is what they use, and they've used that. They changed it from 432. 432 is Pythagorean. It's a very ancient knowledge. If you look up Pythagorean, he was the one who developed the seven keys, you know, the seven notes, and all in a 432 hertz. And that's and those are the tuning forks I use, Pythagorean, the real 432. Not 440. 440, it's not as precise with your attunement of who you are. That's the best way I can explain it. And yeah, the industry, they'll use certain frequencies to keep you down. You know, you think you're partying and dancing, but they probably put subliminal stuff in there, I'm sure. I mean, they took out the church. Catholic, Roman Catholic Church took out, they banned the key of F. They said, that's demonic. The key of F. Do you know the key of F is? Your heart. Your heart chakra, your heart, your love, your heart. The church says, this is demonic. We take that key out. Don't ever play that key in the church again. What?
Interesting.
Yeah, isn't that mind-blowing? It blows my mind. I'm like, but, yeah.
Yeah. The more and more I learn, it kind of seems like there's a whole conspiracy of, like, you know, governments and religions trying to keep people asleep. But this has been a great conversation. I've learned a lot, and I'm pretty sure my audience will, too. Before I go, just let the people know where they can find you. I think you've already said it, but just, you know, say it again, you know, your website and also your books and things like that.
Yeah, you can go to my website, thunderbeat.com. And then there's, you see all my books, my music. And if you want to download my music, you can click on it. On my website, it says download music. Just click on that. Otherwise, if you want to remember, my download site is SiriusStargate.com. And like I said, you can listen to all my music for free. And then whatever you like, you can download it. I even have an audio book on there for my look up, my ET encounters and angel encounters as an audio book on my download page. It's pretty cool.
Awesome. All right, Dan, this has been a great conversation. Thank you for your time. Appreciate it.
All right. Thank you, Isaac.
No problem. Take care.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right, that's a wrap. Thank you for joining us for another enlightening conversation here on Bright Brains. I hope you've gained valuable insights and inspiration to fuel your own bright ideas. If you enjoyed today's episode, don't forget to like and subscribe, rate, and leave a review on your favorite podcast platform or however else you listen to this podcast. Also, we can be found on all major social media,
is type in Right Brains with a Z. And remember, the brightest minds are those that never stop seeking knowledge.